Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, January 21st. I'm Ray Graff. Our guest today loves pie. I mean, really loves pie. Little known fact, right after college, Ellen Gray actually married a pie. But things got, they got a little stale soon after. The whole thing crumbled. But she still loves pie. I love pie. Let's talk pie. It's a pie paradise. 800-348-2551. Who doesn't love pie? 1-800-348-2551 if you want to talk pie with Ellen Gray, who has a terrific website. It's nomoremrnicepie.com. And she's very nice, though. She sent pie. We'll talk pie with Ellen Gray, 800-348-2551, right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. There's some dispute about when National Pi Day actually occurs. Some say it's March 14th, in keeping with the number pi. But our guest today says, nope, that's not so, and I believe her. Today we welcome back internationally acclaimed pie expert Ellen Gray. Ellen grew up in a household where dessert after every meal was the norm, not the exception. Pie was rightfully at the top of the food pyramid. She has a degree in theater, all kinds of experience in the food, dairy, and restaurant industry. After a decade wielding a rolling pin at a small bakery in the Garden State, Ellen now spends her time working on recipe development and writing for just an amazing website. NoMoreMrNicePie.com is her website, as well as several publications. You got a question about crust, fillings, toppings, whatever, this is the person to ask. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, email voxpop at wamc.org. Ellen Gray, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi there, Ray. Happy New Year and happy almost National Pie Day.
Okay, let's dispense with this. Now, for years, my producers, back when I had producers, said, you know, we're doing a pie show right around March 14th because that's National Pie Day. They were all wrong, I guess.
Well, there's always room for more than one holiday celebrating pie, wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
National Pie Day, which falls on the 23rd of January, is not to be confused with the mathematical constant Pi Day, which falls on March 14th.
Uh-huh.
So let's talk a little bit about National Pi Day, which we will celebrate Sunday, or we can start right now, kick it off right now, because I believe you have some pies in front of you to start the celebration.
You literally have the gift, and we'll talk about the pies you brought first. But this whole National Pi Day thing, it's just a marketing scam for people in the pie industry. Am I wrong?
Well, scam is such a harsh word, don't you think, Ray?
I just listened to The Moth, so nothing's really too harsh for me.
You're right. Let's look at the folklore that swirls around this holiday. So it was originally tethered to a gentleman by the name of Charlie Papazian. Charlie was a very keen pie lover. He dubbed his birthday National Pie Day. It was unofficial, but he had pie on his birthday yearly, and he decided he was going to create this unofficial holiday. And that was sometime in the 1970s. And we fast forward to 1986, and the American Pie Council decided to take over the reins. They wanted to sponsor the holiday.
Right.
And the hope was that, yes, this marketing ploy, or shall we say strategy, might increase sales of that shortening in the famous blue labeled can.
Ah, now I understand.
And it did. And coincidentally, the date coincided with the anniversary, the 75th anniversary of said shortening. The Pie Council was correct. They hoped this non-holiday would provide a perfect incentive to encourage pie baking among home bakers. And guess what? It did.
It worked. But you don't need any encouragement, and I certainly need none to eat pie. And, you know, I sat, and you sent, by the way, let me just, before I tell you the reaction that we have in this building. Let me just say, I took a little slice of each for myself and put the rest in the front office, and it was like putting a ham in a bathtub full of piranha. It was gone so fast, you won't believe it. You have skills that are crazy good. Why just focus on pie, Ellen Gray?
I'm flattered. I love pie. It is innately something to be shared, and I think that, for me, is what makes it such a rewarding task in the kitchen. Pie is very mercurial. It's never the same twice. And that's what I love about it. It's very tactile. You have to get your hands in there. It is seasonless because every season offers you new creativity. And it just never gets old. It doesn't get stale.
I love the lemon, the Meyer lemon pie that you sent. And one of the great things about it, we'll talk about the filling here in a second, but the crust is, it's almost like a tort.
Well, thank you. They were baked in springform pans, so they have really tall sides. And so you get, you know, people really debate back and forth, is pie all about the filling or is it all about the crust? And there's really room for both. So a springform pan as your vessel allows you to really get some serious crust, and it gives you the depth so that you can have substantial filling. I'm always disappointed when I have a slice of pie and it's kind of shy on the filling. So I feel like springform pans really give you, you know, allow you to bump it up a little bit.
The Meyer lemon filling is so delicious, and it doesn't fall apart. It's meaty, and it's got and I'm a sucker for Meyer lemons. I love them, and I think this is one of the greatest pies I've ever had. It's very, very, you say lemon pie, most people think lemon meringue pie. This is nothing like that. Explain the filling on this.
Sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of Meyer lemons. Meyer lemons are a crossbreed of Citron, Mandarin, and Pumelo. So they have a taste that's tart, but it has a certain sweetness to it. It's slightly floral, and it's not really the same flavor that is associated with, you know, your everyday Eureka lemons that you find in the grocery store. Meyer lemons were discovered in Beijing, China, around 1908 by an eccentric plant lover, a U.S. plant explorer by the name of Frank Meyer, and he was working for the United States Department of Agriculture at the time, traveling across Asia, basically in search of better food. He is credited with discovering and introducing the fruit to the United States. Tragically, his life ended in 1918. He vanished from a ship en route to Shanghai. But his impact, you know, is just phenomenal. And so we do have to thank him for discovering the Meyer lemon. They are thin-skinned lemons. They are not as tart. The fruit itself has a higher sugar-to-acid ratio, and that's why they're a little bit more floral and a little less acerbic. You know, sometimes lemon pie can kind of get you in the back of the throat.
Yeah.
Meyer lemons just have a slight sweetness to them. And you can use the entire lemon, which we can talk about, too, when we have to talk about the shakers. Do you know much about the shakers?
The shakers made pie. No, this I did not know, Ellen Gray.
Okay. Shaker lemon pie is an iconic dessert. Specifically in southwestern Ohio, it was invented by the Shakers, who, dare we say, they were a pious community. They settled in that area in the early 1800s or so. They were thrifty, they were resourceful, but they were incredibly prolific gardeners and bakers. They were capable, basically, of growing nearly any kind of fruit except lemons. Because remember, Shakers were situated in rural America. Lemons were primarily grown in California or in Florida or in Texas. And because they were thin-skinned and they were fragile fruit, they were perishable. It was a while before refrigerated railway cars were able to transport perishable fruit across the country. That was around the 1850s or so, 1860s. So if the Shakers wanted to get their hands on some lemons, they had to either purchase them or trade for them. And that meant that they were truly a luxury item, which propelled them to create a dessert, to create a pie that would utilize the entire lemon, save the seed. So they sliced it. They didn't peel it. They didn't zest it. They used the entire lemon. They sliced them whisper thin, and they combined them with eggs and sugar and a little bit of butter later on. And there you have Shaker Meyer lemon pie. So that's what you're eating today.
Did you ever? Oh, that is exactly what we're eating. Boy, I'll tell you, the Shakers had it right. That's very good.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Shaker Lemon Pie, by the way, is also the name of one of my favorite bluesmen from the early 1900s. Really good stuff. We'll be right back with Ellen Gray. You got a pie question? We are just getting started. 800-348-2551. Friday, Pies Today with Ellen Gray. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We'll get to the phones in just 1 second, but a moment of praise here for nomoremrnicepie.com. Everybody's got a website, Ellen. I love yours. It's funny, and you learn a lot, and the pictures are great. So whoever does, do you do that yourself?
Yes, I do.
Very nice work.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and the pie coup is very, do you write those yourself as well?
I do.
Do you sleep at all?
Periodically.
All right, let's go to the phones. Irene in Hillsdale. Irene, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
That was really interesting,
Irene.
About the Meyer lemon.
Yeah.
Yes, hi. I really like the information about the Meyer lemons. Thank you.
So you're welcome.
I'm on the perpetual search for a gluten-free pie crust that is worth eating.
I knew you were going to say that.
How did you know that?
Okay.
Is there such a thing?
There is such a thing.
There.
Irene, now don't take this the wrong way, but I'm all about the gluten. I'm here always for the gluten, but I can tell you that you do have some options. You can buy ready-made gluten-free pie crusts. You can find them in your grocer's freezer. And I also know of a few places, you know, such as a Trader Joe's. They have a pretty terrific quality one as well that I've used in the past. Basically, the problem with the gluten-free pie crusts is that they're a little bit fiddly to use. They're difficult to maneuver, because there is no gluten, there's nothing holding them together.
No,
and
no.
So the transferring of the pie dough, the gluten-free pie dough to a pie plate is a little bit tricky. So I would recommend a couple of things. If you choose to make the gluten-free pie crust on your own, there are so many recipes on the web that you can go to that will guide you. I think it's easiest to roll the dough out between two sheets of plastic wrap, so that when you're maneuvering from your work table to your pie plate, you will peel off the top layer, and then you will gently flip the dough into the pie plate, remove the other piece of plastic, and then gently pat it in place. That's one possible solution. The second thing I would recommend is consider utilizing gluten-free cookies or crackers, which are really terrific, and you can make a cracker crumb crust, which you only have to pat into the shell. So you're not rolling, you're really patting, and I think that's an easier task if you're having some trouble.
Irene.
I have made plenty, but I've never been satisfied with them. And yeah, they're always breaking apart, and I used to make a lot of pies with wheat flour. But I no longer do that. So, but I know exactly you cannot get that flaky. But you can't expect to get it. You're looking, I just want a different animal, a whole different animal, but that, you know, tasty and worth eating, not like cardboard, you know.
Yeah, it's tricky. I think if you are, if you can consume almond flour, you know, there are different flours that are gluten-free that might be successful. And I think it's a struggle to get the texture that you're accustomed to with an all-purpose flour or pastry flour. But if you can get the flavor, and that's why sometimes the alternative flours, the nut flours, might be a little bit more flavorful. You can also embellish that. You can use some extracts. You know, vanilla extract is wonderful. You can add some lemon zest or orange zest would be quite good with it. You can use coconut. So consider maybe, you know, adding a few things, at least to give you the flavor that would be lovely. And the texture, you know, that's a swap that you're going to have to make because you're not using anything with gluten.
Irene, thanks a lot for the call. It's a Food Friday today, and I'm always willing to talk pies, and Ellen Gray also willing to talk pies. So that's what we are doing on this program. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Jane is in Enfield, Connecticut. Jane, you're on.
Yeah, I had a question about crust.
Yeah.
I've read that you make the crust and you can roll it and put it in your refrigerator. When I do that and try to roll it out, it's never smooth. It crumbles. It forms weird shapes. So is there a secret to that?
Yeah, Jane, are you making the pie crust by hand in a bowl? Or are you making it in the food processor?
I've done both, but I like the food processor method.
Okay,
better.
Right. Well, the food processor certainly does expedite things. However, you run into the danger of over-mixing. So I think if you choose to use the processor, which is fine, I like to take the butter, flour, sugar mixture once it's been combined, once it's been pulsed, and you don't want to go too fine, but you still want a few lumps of butter in there because that's what's going to give you some flake and some texture. You will then empty that mixture into a bowl, and then you will add the cold water, and usually I add vinegar to my cold water as well. I have a little bit of acidity in there. Then you add your water to your dry mix by hand so you can actually feel it. You want it to just hold together. You don't want it to be too wet. You don't want it to be too pasty. And you need to wrap the mixed dough in plastic wrap and let it rest in the fridge for at least an hour before you roll it out, because it needs to allow the fat to firm up. At the same time, it will relax the dough's gluten, and that's going to prevent toughness, and that will also help inhibit shrinking. And while the dough is relaxing, it's also hydrating. So it's basically redistributing the water content. And my pie pal, Kate Lebo, out on the West Coast, always likes to remind me that pie crust has a memory, and it does. So if it's overly worked and very dry, it's going to remember that, and it's going to have the consistency of a rubber band. It's going to be really tight, and it's going to shrink back, and you don't want that. So you want to give it plenty of time to rest in the fridge before you roll it out. When you take it back out of the fridge to roll it, let it sit on the counter for, you know, a few moments, 5 minutes or so, maybe 10 minutes, depending how cold it is, so that when you're rolling it, you're not really beating it. You know, it's easy to roll, to maneuver, and that should help you.
Jane, thank you very much for the call. It's Food Friday today, 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Our guest today is Ellen Gray from NoMoreMrNicePie.com. You mentioned your friend in California who is a pie expert as well. How many are there of you? Is there a secret cabal of upper crust pie makers out there?
There is, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one of my favorite pie peeps, and that's Deanna Fox.
Oh, God, she's good at it. Oh, yeah.
And she is a phenomenal pie maker and also one of the loveliest folks I know. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of us out here.
That's very exciting. And you also sent, and by the way, the Meyer lemon pie went over extraordinarily well. I liked the nut pie even better. At first glance, you say, okay, that's a pecan pie. But it was much more than that.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, yeah.
It is a wild nut pie. It is actually my son's favorite pie. And it is a combination of pecans and walnuts and cashews. Again, it's baked in a deeper pan, so you get, you know, a pretty substantial ratio of nut to filling, and that's what we like about it. I also like to use golden syrup in my pecan pies. It's a little less cloyingly sweet, but it still has some good, you know, good flavor to it.
I think that's one of the things I loved best about both of the pies is that they were not overly sweet. And is that something you strive for in all the dozens of recipes on your website?
I really do, and that's an enormous compliment, and I thank you. I think that you have to let the flavor of the pie kind of speak for itself, and it's really easy to oversweeten things. And you've just got to sort of hold back a little bit. I've never really felt like I wish there had been more sweetener in my pie. I just want to taste the fruit, or I want to taste the custard, or I want to taste, you know, the nuts. I really want to get a sense of the star ingredient. And when you oversweeten it or even overspice it, I think that, you know, that kind of inhibits the flavor.
We're joined today by Ellen Gray. We talk pie on this Food Friday, and it's A-OK with me. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to the Mass Pike. Fran, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. This is great discussion. And following Irene's question, I have a friend coming to visit who has eliminated so many foods. And they said, but we would really love one of your fruit pies. You make the best pies. But they're asking me to make it gluten-free. And what they suggested was that I make a pie crust with coconut oil and milk and some almond flour. Now, I've never worked with coconut oil. Is it going to provide me, is it going to challenge me as I go to roll it out?
It is a little bit more finicky.
Okay. And they are also suggesting using jackfruit sweetener, like no sugar. So I'm thinking just really limit the sugar and do with spices and do a apple versus trying to use an alternate sweetener.
Yeah, I think you can get away with perhaps less sweetener if you go with a flavorful fruit. I would also suggest to enhance the flavor of the fruit if there is a low sugar or alternative sugar jam or preserve that you like to use. That really bumps up the flavor without adding additional sugar. And there are many varieties on the market, and I think that's a great way to kind of amp up the flavor. And again, you want to use fruit that is flavorful to begin with. So, you know, really choose carefully. If you're making something with apples, add a mixture of apples. Don't go with one note. You know, don't just use all Granny Smith or all Pippin. Just try and have an assortment, and I think that gives you some more depth of flavor. I would also suggest if you're a little hesitant about a gluten-free crust, you could certainly make them a spectacular cobbler. You know, you could not worry about the bottom crust, and you could really pay attention to the fruit, to the filling, and make a gluten-free crumbly topping that you can sprinkle over the fruit, and you serve that warm with hopefully ice cream. That would be spectacular, and then you're not really fussing with the crust, but that's just me.
Fran, thank you very much for the call. What's your favorite pie, Ellen?
That's like picking a favorite child, Ray.
I'm not allowed
to choose one. I'll tell you, I have a favorite pie, I believe, for every season.
Yeah.
So in the spring, I really adore rhubarb. At the height of summer, it's peach. I love the first pumpkin pie of the season and the first apple pie of autumn. So I'm kind of all across the board. I have no single favorite. I love them all like children.
Why only the first apple pie of autumn? Why not the second?
Because I'm despondent that summer is over and I can't get my hands on peaches or wonderful tomatoes. And so now we're into apples. And I love apples. but the first one always seems to taste the best to me.
Ah, now we are getting somewhere with the psychoanalytical portion of the program. All right, let's go back to the phone. Scott in Altamont. Scott, you're on.
Hey there. I'm looking for a black forest pie.
Black forest pie.
A black forest pie. So you want a chocolate pie that incorporates some cherries as well?
Well, have you ever heard of this before? I used to get it from a bakery in Rotterdam years ago.
I have had black forest pie, and the ones that I'm familiar with generally have a chocolate filling, and then the topping is a cherry filling, and then it's piped with whipped cream. So you can certainly, I would say, there are a number of chocolate chess pies, which are have a pretty firm chocolate base to it, not as dense as a brownie, but certainly as flavorful and very chocolatey. And then you could do a stovetop cherry filling and then add that to the baked chocolate pie and then add fresh whipped cream. I think that would be delicious.
Sounds pretty close. I've never been able to duplicate this or find anyone that had this same recipe. It was just so good. I really miss it.
Well, let me ask you a question, Ellen Gray. Do you have any recipe on your site resembling this?
I'm scrolling through here to see. I have a number of chocolate pie recipes. I tell you what, Scott, if you shoot me an email at nomoremrnicepie at gmail.com, I'll be happy to send you something.
Oh, that's very nice. So it's no more Mr. Nice Pie at gmail.com. Scott, thanks a lot, man. Good luck. 800-348-2551 is our number. We're joined today by Ellen Gray, and we talk pie on this Food Friday. A couple of emails here at voxpop@wamc.org, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one is from Sheila. Sheila says, I want to ask, how is it that whenever you make an apple pie at home, you have to refrigerate it afterwards, but whenever you see commercial pies in the supermarket, they're left out at room temperature for days? Is the home cook missing something here? And that's from Sheila.
Hi, Sheila. About those pies sitting out on your grocer's shelving. They have more preservatives than you would use at home. You can certainly allow a freshly baked pie to sit at room temperature, cool room temperature, you know, not in the sweltering August heat, but cool room temperature on the counter, covered loosely for 2 days, 3 days, maybe. Beyond that, I would be more apt to refrigerate it just to ensure that it stays fresh and that you don't have any problems with it. The crust certainly will be altered a little bit when it's refrigerated, but the pies sitting out on the grocery shelves are generally a different animal.
You know, we've several emails on gluten-free pie crust, which we've already covered on the phones. When did this begin? When did this begin, Ellen Gray, where people said, okay, you got to help me out here with a good recipe that is gluten-free? When I was a kid, I don't remember hearing about this.
Right. Make it stop. Can you make it stop? So I like to consider myself very fortunate that I don't have any dietary issues that, you know, preclude my eating gluten. And I am sympathetic to people who have to kind of inhibit that. I think today we do have certainly many more options available with gluten-free flour blends, with gluten-free products, with pre-made gluten-free pie shells. But I think you're right. I think that it, in addition to being a situation that is a health situation, it in some small way is also tethered a little bit to marketing. And so it has opened up an entire list of products that people can now buy that we once did not have, or and maybe we weren't looking for them then, but now we are. And so I think we're fortunate that there are many things out there for the plucking. But again, it is, you know, you sort of have to treat it with moderation. You know, you have to do what's right for you. And if you need those types of products, then by all means, you should explore that and you should try them. But I would be hesitant to kind of get swept up in the fad of any food fad that would be out there.
That's very wise. Ellen Gray is our guest. We'll take a quick break here, Ellen. You know, if you want to, you can go to the website, pick out some of your favorite pie cues, and we could do some of those as well on the program. Number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. VoxPop@WAMC.org is the email address. And we'll be back with Ellen Gray. Food Friday on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. Number is 800-348-2551. If you have a pie question for an acknowledged pie expert, Ellen Gray, who joins us today. Your bio is a great one. And you started in theater. How'd you end up with a rolling pin in your hand at a little bakery?
I always had a rolling pin in my hand. And also when I was in college as a theater major, I worked at a local bakery called the Home Dairy, which was in Ithaca, New York, and I fed quite a few of the theater department while working in that bakery. So I think it clicked. I realized that a job in theater may be less definitive than a food-centric job. So it was good to balance the two. Ray, I've got a pie coup for you.
Go.
I've got two that I want to share.
This one
was dedicated to the day after Thanksgiving of this year.
Oh, I saw this one. I love it.
Oh, look at the time. It's stretchy pants o'clock, and there's pie for breakfast. And here is a summer pie coup for you. Peach pies pack their bags, leaving behind zucchini that nobody wants.
And that is why you're despondent. At the end of the... Now we understand.
Now you understand.
Ellen Gray joins us. We talk pie. Now, do you do savory pies, too?
I do. I like to make savory pies for dinner, and I think it's a great vehicle for using up, you know, odds and ends that are left in the fridge, because if you put something between a bottom crust and a really delicious top crust, which could be not necessarily pie crust, but it could be... potatoes, or it could be cornbread, or it could be something that's got some spice to it. It's really a phenomenal way to create a meal.
I mean, the reason I ask, one of the reasons, obviously, mm-hmm. Lisa had written, do you have a good chicken pot pie recipe?
I do have a good chicken pot pie recipe on the website. And I'm happy to email that as well.
All right.
If she wants to shoot me an email.
And, of course, you can go to nomoremrnicepie.com and see a lot of great stuff and more pie coup.
Mm-hmm.
And the stretchy pants o'clock, I got to say, that's a great term. You come up with that yourself?
Yeah, years of eating too much on Thanksgiving, I
think. I'm with you there. All right, this email from Christine in Tivoli. I'm so excited, Ellen, to try your Meyer lemon pie recipe, the one I used to order with fresh cream at Agnes Devereaux's Village Tea Room in New Paltz was out of this world, and nothing ever compares when I make it myself. I'm looking forward to trying your deep dish springform recipes as well.
Okay.
And, you know,
okay.
When the guy called in about the Black Forest, I thought
yeah.
The deep dish would probably work very well for that.
I think so, too. There is a Shaker Meyer lemon pie recipe on the website, Christine, if you want to take a peek at that.
Our call screener today, Jessica O'Rourke, wanted to know, is there a cheddar cheese pie crust for apple pies? Which I think it's a great question.
It is. It's a great question, and it is a great pie crust. And actually, there is one on the website if she wants to go. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Using the recipe index, there's one in there, and I love it. And I also love using alternative flours such as whole wheat flour, rye flour. They work very nicely with something a little bit savory like cheese.
And by the way, if you are listening to this program, you don't remember nomoremrnicepie.com, just remember, go to wamc.org/voxpop. Today's page has plenty of links to Ellen's fine work there. Let's go back to the phones. Voorheesville, New York. Charles, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, Charles.
Heard several people asking about gluten-free pie crusts, and I wanted to share one that I have adapted from my grandmother's pie crust recipe, and it seems to work okay.
All right.
Okay.
So I go to my local grocery store and I buy whatever gluten-free all-purpose flour blend is currently cheapest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've tried, you know, individual nut flours and whatnot, and I didn't like the way it tasted, but the all-purpose flour blend seemed to work all right to me.
Okay.
And then it's...
Yeah.
We lost you. Hey, Charles.
I think Charles is... you got stage fright there, Daddy-O. No? All right, we lost Charles. Okay. But you get the idea, right. Ellen Gray. And
we do.
Gluten-free is always a popular topic here on Food Friday.
Yes, it is.
Even if you're making soup, it's very... All right, this one is from N, who writes, I'm a cooker, not a baker, dang it. Some people are cake people. Growing up in a health food store, our local bakery had these 4-inch mini pies, no binders. I love any rhubarb, key lime, cobbler, etc. How one person can make this with a great toaster oven with how can one person make this with a great toaster oven without the extravaganza? I'm not sure what I read, but maybe you got it.
Okay, so it sounds like you've got sort of limited real estate in the oven, so you can do a number of things. You can use a 6-inch pie plate. You know, they're pretty accommodating. You could also make pies in like a Pyrex custard cup would be a great portion, and that should fit. What was the rest of her her question?
Well, it was hard to sort of fathom it.
Sluice it out. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I think most of it was sort of, you know, the rhubarb, the key, going down memory lane here in Pineville. Ellen Gray joins us, 800-348-2551. If you have a question or if you want to email voxpop@wamc.org, I recommend complete sentences. It helps me very much. This is from Kathy. Kudos to Ellen for that delicately nuanced answer about the need for gluten-free. Très diplomatique. And that is from
Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. Thanks, Kathy.
Yeah, and so as we enter the dark portion of winter, what pies will Ellen Gray be dishing out?
I was going to ask you what your favorite pies are of winter, Ray. Do you have a hankering for anything in particular?
I think everyone knows. I'm a very simple man. You put it in front of me, I will probably eat it. It's tough for me. It's tough for me to say. Oftentimes, whatever's in front of me is the best thing I've ever had. So I think I'm a cheap date.
Okay. Fair enough.
What do you got in mind, though?
Well, I cannot get enough Meyer lemons. I'm really hooked on those. And I love citrus in winter because it's cold and it's, you know, a little snowy and a lot icy. And so when you're baking a citrus pie and then you're eating a citrus pie, it's kind of like a mini vacation.
I agree with you about that. And can you do anything with orange?
You know, orange is kind of, it's a little persnickety because you're sort of combating, you've got acid. When you're baking with orange in a pie setting, generally it's a custard kind of a pie, and so you don't want too much acid, you don't want too much liquid, but you want a bump of flavor. So when I use orange in a pie filling and also with grapefruit, I tend to reduce it down a little bit. I cook it down a little bit and concentrate it, and I think that helps. And I also, again, I had talked a little bit about jams before to kind of amplify a flavor. A really wonderful quality orange marmalade will do wonders for any of those kinds of orange desserts.
Yeah, that makes a great deal of sense. One thing that I marveled at when I was eating the pie that you sent, and thank you, by the way, for spending all that money. That wasn't cheap postage, and you sent us pies, but the crust... All right, I made one pie in my life. It was a Ritz mock apple pie years ago, kind of on a gag, and it wasn't bad. But crust is a difficult thing to master, and you obviously have it down. Give us a secret.
Thank you. I think that it's like anything else. It's like music. It's like art. You have to practice. And so the more you do it, you know, the more comfortable you become. And so... The hesitancy with pie crust, it just seems very daunting to people. I think you just have to get your hands in there and practice. And don't overwork it. I think as much as I love the ease of a food processor, it's sort of not the best way for making pie dough. I think that you just have to have enough wherewithal to kind of step back and just let the pie dough rest, not to overwork it, not to over, add too much water. You just have to kind of be a little bit gentle with it. And we tend to sometimes, if we're unfamiliar with something or we feel that we're not as capable, we kind of go full steam ahead. Pie can be a little bit less manhandled.
Very interesting. Ellen Gray joins us today, and somebody writes in, somebody who did not put their name down. Please put your name down in the future. Are there any sugar-free crusts or pies for someone with diabetes?
Yeah, I've been asked that question before. There are sugar-free, there are alternatives. They do kind of react a little bit differently with the pie crust. And that's, I mentioned to someone, I think it was Christine, that sometimes you can forego the crust and maybe consider making a cobbler, because I think you've got a little bit more freedom there. And if you're not worried about the bottom crust, but you're really focusing on the fruit and enhancing the flavor of the fruit using really good quality, that's your key ingredient. There are a number of crumbly toppings, crisps that you can use to serve as your top crust, and you can get away with that. I think there's a little more wiggle room there.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Ellen Gray joins us from NoMoreMrNicePie.com. Rose is in Sugarloaf. Rose.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Rose.
Hi. I had a question about your shortening. I didn't hear you mention what you use. Is it always that stuff in the blue can, or do you mix it up? Do you use some butter?
You know, I have to say, and Ray, correct me if I'm wrong, but okay, I think many of us grew up eating Crisco pie crust. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah,
there?
Absolutely.
That was pretty standard. And I think, love it or loathe it, we'd be kind of remiss if we didn't acknowledge that, Crisco really impacted home baking. It changed pie making forever, because unlike butter, it's shelf stable. It was consistent. It was readily available. So, and it really opened the door for recipe contests and cookbooks and pamphlets. Had a huge impact on kitchens. Also, particularly in kitchens where cooks couldn't use butter or rendered animal fat, like that was huge. The advent of shortenings. So today, there are non-hydrogenated shortenings available, and I'm also pretty keen on Earth Balance. Has some good options for you.
I thought those were shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Earth Balance is shoes, right?
No.
Hopefully
organic,
not in the
shortening.
Pie.
Okay.
Yeah, I use that quite a bit.
Yeah, and how do you feel about that? Have you had some success?
I think it's okay. I just don't know. I don't compare it to anything because I haven't used anything else really, except that with some butter.
Yeah. Well, butter will give you the flavor, and shortening will give you the flake. So it's great to use them in tandem. And I think that shortenings, specifically Crisco, if we're going to name brands, the formulation of the shortening is certainly different now than it was years and years ago. So there are a lot of options on the market. And I think if you're able to combine butter with another type of shortening, you should have a good result.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Rose,
thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Have a great weekend. Ellen Gray joins us on this Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. And somebody wants to know, is it true that you can use vodka instead of water in pie crust?
We talked about this last time, Ray, and we decided the vodka was really for the baker, not for the pie
crust. Oh, that's right.
Crust.
Oh, but now I remember that exchange. I'm a little senile, Ellen. I think that by now from our...
But you certainly can, and there are certainly recipes that indicate using vodka for a tender pie crust, and it also will help inhibit the gluten, and it will it will certainly counteract, you know, hopefully counteract a little bit of that shrinkage and overworking. However, I think you can get equally good results with apple cider vinegar or with balsamic vinegar or with lemon juice. So it doesn't have to be vodka, but it's not a bad idea to have some standing by, as we just discussed.
You know so much. I mean, I know that you worked for years, a decade or more, in a bakery. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. now that you are just researching and writing, and I know you mm-hmm. write for some high-end publications, I can't even – I've never okay. seen them on the shelves. They're that hoity-toity. But how many pies do you bake a week? I mean, how much research are you doing all the time in your kitchen?
Doing research all the time. I'm not baking hundreds of pies anymore, which my legs and wrists are really happy about. But I bake pie weekly. I bake, you know, several pies weekly, and it depends on the time frame. If it's a holiday, I still bake for people who, you know, I have a following of folks who I'm happy to bake for. So I'm still baking quite a bit.
When you're baking for your family, do you have a toughest critic?
Well, you know, you mentioned in the intro that I married a pie, but I think what you meant to say is that I married Mr. Sweet as pie.
Aww.
Because my husband is a very patient man. He has washed more than his fair share of pie plates and dishes and mixing bowls over the years. But for the family, we are really seasonally driven, and we do love what's fresh, what we can get at a farm market or a farm. Or farm stand. And in the wintertime, as I said, we use lots of citrus. It's really reflective on the season.
So what you're saying, the subtext here is nobody would dare to say, well, this is not your best work.
I do receive criticism. I think it's probably safer to say that I have a lot of rules.
What do you
concerning
mean?
Pie. I have a lot of pie rules, like you can't slice that pie because it's not cool enough, or you can't slice that pie because I'm saving it for someone else, or, you know, along those lines. I have a lot of limitations that I put on some of these pies.
So you're really, even at home, you're in charge. You're the pie commander.
Something like that. Yeah, I believe so.
Well, it has been a real blast having you on. I know you were on with Deanna last time, and I'm sure you two will be back again together and separate. Deanna's on next week. I mean,
I can't wait.
She's as regular as Bob Hope walking on The Tonight Show. I mean, it's great to have her on this program, and I hope you come back again soon. Once again, your website is tremendous. Do you take the pictures on that thing?
Thank you. I do take the pictures on that thing.
You are a very talented person, Ellen Gray. Once again, give us that URL.
Oh, it's nomoremrnicepie.com, and you can email me at nomoremrnicepie@gmail.com, and I'm happy to talk pie. Ray, it's been a delight chatting with you again. Thank you so much.
And thank you for sending the pie. We'll talk to you very soon, hopefully in person next time. Ellen Gray, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Same to you, Ray. Take care. Bye-bye.
Support comes from the Egremont Coffee Shop at Egremont Village Inn, open Wednesday through Sundays, 8 a.m. to 2:30, serving 6 Depot Roast exclusively. More information available at theegremontcoffeeshop.com. At Pekarsky, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com. Once again, thanks to Ellen Gray for being with us today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Jessica O'Rourke. I'm Ray Graff. Have yourself a splendid weekend. And on Monday, we'll explore the exciting world of urology. It's at 2 p.m. Make up your own joke, and I'll see you then.